Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Razabani for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. With me on Zoom, it's Dave Colwell. Dave, I thought I got rid of the life of Zooms, but it looks like we have to use it here and there at times. How are we doing?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. All right, just watched Kylian Mbappe absolutely smash it. Unbelievable player. So now I'm just waiting for the England game, so I managed to fit you in.
Dave, just before, obviously, we start on... the reason why we wanted to have a quick little chat regarding yesterday's heavyweight fight between Fury and Chisora. I just want to get an update on Lerone Richards. Obviously, I know we spoke about it last week. Just wanted to see how he was, how the scans went, and if you had an update.
He got his MRI done on, it was a Tuesday, I think he went for it, and everything's come back all right on the MRI. That was the main one, major one. I think the doctors said that his blood pressure was very, very low. I don't know. I've not really spoke to him in depth about it, but he said the doctor said that his blood pressure is a little bit low. He needs rest, but then he'll be all right. He'll be fine. So he's looking forward to rescheduling, hopefully for February.
Well, yeah, it's good news at least, Dave. There's no damage or permanent damage there, so that's great.
Yeah, that was the main concern. But no, thankfully everything's fine, so we can put that, you know, can we write off as a really bad year, just a terrible year for him. And hopefully, like we said on the night to John Wish, to Ben Shalom, you know, he'll be good for, you know, straight away in the new year. Obviously needs a little bit of rest, so then February, I believe they're gonna have a date in February. That's perfect for Lerone, so fingers crossed.
Well, good news to hear. Dave, last night, people were split on the first, when they heard the matchup, Fury-Chisora. People were split whether it should happen, whether it was a fight that we all thought. But at the end of the day, it took place. It sold an incredible amount of tickets. Again, people thought December outdoors won't do very well, but it looks like they sold close to 60,000 tickets. Just wanted kind of your overall assessment on the fight. And I think everyone kind of expected Fury to win anyway.
Firstly, the fact that it sold so well in December in the freezing cold, it's just great. It's great for sport, and it shows that Tyson Fury is, you know, which we knew anyway, Tyson Fury is a massive, massive star and a massive name. The sport needs people like that. The sport needs, you know, the guys that reach outside the box, not just the boxing fans. And Tyson's shown that he's right up there with them as well. So, you know, AJ, Fury, there's only really those two that have pulled, you know. I know Froch versus Groves, but I'm talking about actual individual fighters, whoever they're fighting can pull, you know, huge, huge stadium figure attendances, which is fantastic. We need people like that for the sport. But to do it in December when it's freezing cold as well, that's great, you know. So, yeah. Firstly, on that side of things, fantastic. The fight itself, like you said, a lot of people, you know, were a little bit in two minds about it, were against the fight. And I think people saw it as the Tyson Fury show, which I think majority of people that went there probably were. It is about the occasion, about the event. Whoever he fights, they'll turn up for. And I think that's what... I don't think many people that were outside Derek's camp, Derek's fan base, I don't think many people thought there that seriously that there was going to be a huge upset. But the thing about Derek is that he has had highlight reel knockouts in the past. He has had come from behind victories in the past. And he is someone that will give it absolutely everything. And that's why fans turned up.
Dave, a lot of people were... criticising the corner. They felt the corner should have kind of pulled him out early. Derek said, at the end, when back in the locker room, about the referee stopping the fight. And he said, look, I'm a fighter. I'm going to carry on. The referee's there to do the right thing. And he admitted the referee did the right thing. Did it go on a few too many rounds from your perspective?
I said to you before, I listened to it on TalkSport. I didn't watch it. I haven't seen any of it yet. I'll watch it. I'm not one of these that like to watch little clips and things. If I don't see a fight live, I don't go back and just watch little clips and little highlights. So when I can watch it live in its entirety, then I'll probably watch it. But I listened to it, and it sounded awful to listen to be fair. I chose not to watch it because it wasn't a fight that I want to see Derek in. After the Parker fight, I said to him in the changing rooms that I felt it was a perfect time for him to retire. And it wasn't a case of, I can't see, you can't win any more fights. It's a case of, I don't want to see you getting it as many times as what you are doing now. And I just thought it was a perfect time for him to walk away. The crowd singing his name at a last big fight against Joseph Parker. But he chose to carry on, beats Pulev, and then now he's fighting in front of 60,000 fans at Tottenham Hotspur for the world title. So he got what he wanted, but I could only see either Fury goes out there and puts it on him and gets rid of him quick. Fury decides to win on points and he beats him up, which means it's a sustained punishment. But also, Derek is that tough. So the option was there that Derek could be that tough that he just soaks everything up and, he gets hammered for 12 rounds. And I didn't want to see either of those. I didn't want to watch either of those options. So I didn't. And I'm listening to TalkSport every day with football. And I thought, and you're hearing them saying they're covering the Fury fight. I was like, oh, I'll listen to it. So I listened to it. And yeah, it didn't sound great. So in answer to your question, I can't tell you whether a fight should have been stopped or not because I didn't watch it. But from the commentators on the radio and from, obviously, I've seen the response on social medias, then people are saying, it was bad. It was bad at the amount of punishment he was taking. But to go to a trainer's point of view, the trainer sees it how he sees it. He knows his fighter. He knows, how he's responding there. He knows whether he believes that he can turn it around. If he thought that Derek could turn it around and Derek was in the fight all the time and Fury showing signs that he could be got at, then maybe that's why I kept him in there. But if he didn't and it was just because Derek's tough, then I think that's when a fighter needs looking after and that decision taken out of the fighter's hands. Because you got a man like Derek Chisora, he ain't quitting for nobody. He's got immense heart, toughness, and then he gets in this zone where he's just going to keep trudging forward. And when he has successes and you think you can turn it around, but if there's no success, again, I didn't see it, but from what I was listening on, they didn't see it sound as though there was much success in there. And if there's not much success or there's no success, then really that is just a beating.
Dave, I remember a couple of years ago, Frank Warren said that Derek Chisora should retire. Eddie Hearn went on record to say that he'd love to see Chisora fight Wilder. And everyone refers back to this victory over Pulev, but we have to also remember Pulev is nowhere near his prime as well. He may well be a top 15 heavyweight, but he's kind of well past his best. Yeah. Derek last night took a lot of clean shots, a lot of uppercuts from Fury. And like you said, Derek, you've worked with him, you've trained him for a number of years and for a number of fights, but does someone have to put their hand around his shoulder and say, Derek, it's up. The time's up now. Because Derek just wants the big fights. I don't think Derek can get up for British level. No disrespect to the British level fighters, but he wants to make the most money at the highest possible level. And do you feel like that's come to an end now and someone needs to put their hand around his shoulder and say, Derek, it's time to go?
The problem is that Derek wants to fight. Somebody told me earlier on that Derek's done an interview where he says he wants to carry on. I was hoping that this fight would be the fight where he gets his world title shot, gets his big massive paycheck, and he can finish and go out into the sunset and be content. But the worry is that if he's not content, and it sounds like he's not already, and I'm hoping it's just the adrenaline and the you know, the afterglow from such a big event, you know, because even if, you know, he's lost, but the event and being part of such a spectacle is such a rush, you know. So I'm hoping it's just that's speaking. And then, in you know, in a few days' time, when things hit home a little bit, then he maybe decides and thinks, you know what, bow out at this point is perfect time, perfect opportunity to get out of the sport. Because the worry is that, like you said, that he does want to carry on. That's where he needs, you know, his management, whoever's managing him now, if it's, I don't know, last I knew it was 258, or, but whoever is in that position to say, Derek, no. Family, friends, people around him to say, Derek, think about the long term, think about the future. And then, you know, well, I think the main thing is the big promoters. If the big, you know, it's all right, I'm coming out and saying he should retire and this, but the promoters are the ones, because they stage the events. So if they aren't willing to put Derek on anymore and say, listen, mate, with all due respect, and because we value, not because, oh, you shit now, we don't want anything to do with you, but no, but because we value as if you put that much into our sport, given us great events, given the fans great nights, we actually value you now. So we're not going to take from you anymore. We're not going to give you an opportunity to, and it's not even about the money now. I mean, listen, it's not about the money. He's earned a lot of money, but last night he'll have earned serious, serious money. So it's not even about giving him a payday anymore. It's giving him that platform, or that, give him that platform to do more harm than good that's going to come out of it. So it'd be nice if they turned around and said, thanks for everything, but, you know, there's no slots available, there's no room, you know, that's it. And then if the guys with the TV contracts, your Frank Warrens, your Eddie Earns, your even your Bob Arum and Top Rank, the guys with the big TV platform that play a big money, if they turn around and say no, then he's not going to work. He's not going to pay. He's not going to box for 30, 40 grand. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to box for fees that smaller TV companies can pay, or box for even less, you know, that small old promoters can pay. So then you're kind of like cutting him off at the source, and then he doesn't box. But the problem is that my worry is that when a fighter doesn't feel like he's done, then it's how does he handle the not fighting anymore? How does he handle the retirement? How does he handle building a new life for himself? And that's the worry. People like Derek, who and I you know, I've said it in the gym to the lads before this fight, before that, you know, when I'd said I want him to retire after Parker, but the fact that he doesn't, and he was like straight away on that night, he was like, fuck that, straight away turn around to Frank Smith, says, when you get me out again, this is after a fight like that. He just loves it. He loves to fight. He's a hard man, yes, but he just loves to fight. You know, there's plenty of people that say they love to fight, but he actually really, really does it. I think that needs to be extinguished. That needs to be satisfied. And that's my worry for him, is that people like that, when they retire, they struggle readjusting. And that's where, that's where, why it's not so plain and simple. That's why it's not so plain and simple. Oh yeah, just retire. That's it. Because we're not him. We haven't got that same mindset. We don't actually, although we feel like, you know, even me as a coach or an ex-boxer, I can understand and think, but I don't actually truly know what's ticking in that brain. And not just with Derek, with other fighters, you know, so other fighters that have retired, thinking about the health long term, because it gets to that point in the career, but still feel physically as though they can still do it. When you physically feel as though you can still do it, that's the danger spot, because you're like, well, why not? And you're when you have that desire and that you, some fighters, the boxing, the discipline of the boxing, that is what keeps them from doing stupid things. I'm not saying he's going to turn out and go on a rampage and start smashing everybody up and things. I'm not saying that, but with some people, they have a it's like we do know that he's got a bit of a switch, where one minute he's all right, next minute he's a bit of a scary dude. But the boxing might be what tames that side, and it gives him an outlet for the other side, that the war chisora to come out. I mean, you don't want that war chisora coming out anywhere else other than a boxing ring. Do you know what I mean? So, I, like I said, I don't know what's going on in his head. I don't know how he feels. Maybe he worries that that is what keeps him calm, keeps him cool. But I would hope that the fact that he's got a lovely family, a couple of young kids, I would hope that would like settle the fires, and that would give him motivation to look at something else and just enjoy being a dad, enjoy being a family man, and just enjoy the life that he's built through all his hard work, all his heart that he's put put into each fight and each camp, and just enjoy himself. I would hope that he could do that.
Dave, just finally, obviously we saw Alexander Usyk in attendance, Joe Joyce in attendance, both of them jumped up on the ring. Probably the two fighters there have two different styles. Obviously Usyk's undefeated, Joe is undefeated, but which one do you think stylistically will give Fury more problems out of the two?
I think they both give any heavyweights problems in their own way. They're two different styles, but they both give any heavyweight in the world problems. Joe Joyce is that constant pressure, that just that. Joe's a guy that when you were watching him coming through, you thought, you just think he's terrible. And you think, Canelo gets hit with everything, and he's slow and he's cumbersome, and yes, he's heavy-handed and he's tough, but he'll get found out when he steps up. And you keep saying, he'll get found out when he steps up. But he keeps stepping up and he keeps doing the same job. And with Ismael Salas as well, he's actually got a rhythm to his boxing that works for him and is very, very hard for other fighters to deal with. You know, his jab's a lot better than what you think it is. You know, he's not just as one-dimensional and crude as what it kind of like looks like. And obviously with Usyk's got, you know, he's got legs, he's got skills, he's got the boxing IQ. But I think they both have the styles that could give Fury problems. What I would say is that, although I do think that Usyk's got the ability to beat Tyson Fury, for him I'd worry that Fury's too big. He's a big man that's very, very good. He's a big man that's skillful. He's a big man that's tough, gritty, and can box in numerous ways as well. So he's not just a big man. He's a very, very good big man. And the size difference could be too much for Usyk's attributes to come into effect. With Joyce against Fury, again, you would think that Fury's skills and boxing ability would be too much for him, but I'm done with writing off Joe Joyce. I'm done, I'm not gonna write, because I look at him, I thought Dubois was gonna beat him, and you just look at him and you just think he's gonna get found out, he's gonna get found out, but you can't, because he just at some point it will do, and then you can say, "See, I told you." But when's that gonna come? I don't know. I've started, you know. It was a bit of a slow burner, but I like what I see with Joe Joyce. He makes it work for himself. Not everybody can be the slickster, the skillster, deliver these brilliant combination punches and look flashy and great while they're getting rid of people. Some people, you just see them and they're just raw. And he's scary, man. He's scary. And then, like I said, you know, Fury, you've got the skills in it. I would like to see, obviously, you want to see Undisputed. So obviously Usyk and Fury. But I'm not going to lie, I want to see Usyk and Joyce as well. Not Usyk. Well, yeah, I'd like to see that as well. But I want to see Fury and Joyce just because it's a fantastic matchup again. There's so many fights between those four guys. There's four guys there. Wilder, AJ. Because Wilder's still somebody you want to watch. AJ is still somebody you want to watch. You know, then you've got Joyce and you've got Fury and you've got Usyk. It's like, it's a great mix, but we need to see the fights happen. And amongst themselves, you know, there's so many good fights there for the sport. And that, if they all started fighting each other, that just lift the sport massively. It'd go to another level. Listen, Fury selling out Tottenham against Derek Chisora in a fight that got panned beforehand and everyone saying it was going to be one way and everyone kind of knew it was going to be, and you were just that intrigued, well, what if Derek, what if? You imagine, obviously, Fury against AJ, AJ against Wilder, Usyk against Wilder. It's just, there's so many different mixes. Joyce in that with either one of those as well. They're all going to sell. They're all going to make the promoters a lot of money, the fighters a lot of money. But I just worried that a lot of times in boxing, you look at Crawford Spence, you look at Pacquiao Mayweather, they wait and wait and wait and wait, and then the fights never happen. Or they happen when you're talking about shells of the fighters that they once were. And it does the sport no favours. And I don't think it... I'll tell you what else I don't think does the sport favours is when your team Matchroom slagging off team Warren, your team Warren slagging off team Matchroom. So fans that aren't boxing people and aren't, like, you know, don't look at the intricacy of fights and things, they just see that a show's getting panned. They go, I'm not going to bother watching. Viewing figures are shit. Fighters on the undercard aren't getting exposure. And it's like, you're killing the sport because it's like you just want to put one over on the others. And you know, we've all been guilty of it. Everybody's been guilty of it. And I've kind of like looked at landscape of how sport's going at the moment recently. And it's like, if you're going to slate something, ultimately you're slagging off the sport from within. And if the guys and us from inside the sport a slate in every show just because he's not got one of our fighters on it, then the people on the outside that have no loyalties to either of the sport won't attach themselves to it because they'll just hear it's shit. And they'll just hear that, oh, it's not worth watching. So then they're on it. And then all you're going to get is fans of that promoter watch that show and fans of that promoter watch that show. You know, I think we need to, as a sport, we need to kind of like pull a finger out all round. Otherwise, it's only going one way.
Dave, appreciate giving me a little bit of time. I know it's Sunday. I know you're getting ready to probably watch England play big game against Senegal, and I'm sure your boy's gonna be probably knocking at the door any minute now. So, Dad, come on, let's get ready for the game. But yeah, enjoy the game. Thank you for a few minutes of your time, Dave. And we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thanks, mate. Nice one,
Dave Caldwell, IFL TV. Thank you very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.